Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Millions of Americans are about to go hungry. We have got that story. Plus, Dr. Gates adjusts the thermostat on his climate propaganda. But first, from the Miami Herald, who, remember, were publishing Epstein investigations before most were really paying attention. Venezuela claims capture of CIA group accuses U.S. of plotting false flag attack. Alternative media has completely changed the world. The Nicolas Maduro regime said Sunday, October 26, Venezuela had captured a group of alleged mercenaries with ties to U.S. Central Intelligence Agency and accused Washington and Trinidad and Tobago of coordinating military exercises intended to provoke an armed confrontation in the Caribbean. TNT, not usually the tops of the list of planning terror kind of countries. In a statement released by Vice President Delcy Rodriguez, the socialist government said the arrest revealed what it described as a, quote, false flag operation, end quote, planned from waters bordering Trinidad and Tobago or from Trinidadian or from Venezuelan territory to generate a full-scale military confrontation against Venezuela. The regime's announcement comes amid the fast-growing buildup of U.S. forces in the Caribbean launched by President Donald Trump to combat drug cartels. Competition's a sin. The administration has signaled that it might soon authorize ground incursions into Venezuela to target the so-called Cartel de los Soles, Cartel of the Suns, like the Shining Ones, a narco-trafficking organization the U.S. claims to be led by Maduro himself, which would be a lot of extra work. The Venezuelan government did not release any evidence or details about the alleged arrests, such as the number of suspects, their nationalities, or when and where they were detained. So zero information. Caracas also linked the alleged plot to military drills, if it claims are being carried out this week by Trinidad and Tobago, quote, under the coordination, financing, and control of the U.S. Southern Command, calling them a hostile provocation and a grave threat to the peace of the Caribbean. The statement accused Trinidad and Tobago's Prime Minister Kamla of having renounced the sovereignty of her country to act as a military colony subordinated to U.S. hegemonic interests. By aligning herself with Washington's militarist agenda, Kamla not only seeks to attack Venezuela and break our historical bonds of brotherhood, but also violates the United Nations Charter, the CELAC Declaration of Latin America, and the Caribbean as a zone of peace, and the principles of CARICOM. The Maduro government said the alleged military maneuvers are part of an effort to turn the Caribbean into a space for lethal violence and U.S. imperial domination. The Miami Herald could not independently confirm the arrest of any group or the existence of coordinated operations involving the CIA or the Doral, Florida-based U.S. Southern Command, which oversees military operations in Latin America. In its statement, the Caracas regime compared the supposed plan to historical events such as the USS Maine explosion in Cuba in 1898, one of the causes of the Spanish-American War. You give me the pictures, I'll give you the war. And the Gulf of Tonkin incident near Vietnam in 1964, both of which preceded major U.S. military interventions. The task force has launched deadly strikes against boats the U.S. says were transporting drugs to Caribbean islands and into the U.S., most of them originating in Venezuela, leaving at least 43 people dead, which we worry are probably a bunch of fishermen. Over the past 2 months, Pentagram has deployed close to 10,000 troops, most of them based in Puerto Rico, along with a contingent of Marines aboard amphibious assault ships. The U.S. Navy has positioned at least 10 warships and a submarine in the Caribbean as part of the expanded presence. And last week, Trump directed the world's largest aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald Ford, into the region. It immediately served on the Warren Commission, covered for framing Nixon, and then tripped and fell off of Air Force One. In addition, Trump has indicated that the U.S. is now considering ground operations while his administration has quietly granted the CIA new powers to conduct covert activities in the South American country. Shh, it's quiet. Nobody knows about it. It's only in every mainstream media outlet. We are certainly looking at land now because we've got the sea very well under control, Trump told reporters in the Oval Office earlier this month. We've almost totally stopped it by sea. Now we'll stop it by land, which does sound like an inversion of some famous American kind of quote about as if by land and sea. Not play on other geopolitical moves on the chessboard, not playing games. Trump responds to Putin testing invincible nuclear cruise missile. Meanwhile, the Pentagon issues a statement decrying Netflix's House of Dynamite over inaccuracies, which I wasn't really interested in the story, James, until I learned it's a movie directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who we know has been used either wittingly or unwittingly as a conduit for intelligence agency propaganda, Zero Dark 30. And Netanyahu orders immediate and powerful attacks on Gaza. Netanyahu's idea of the ceasefire is, it's a ceasefire when we decide to stop bombing you. James, that's a lot of moves on the grand chessboard there.
There are a lot of moves, and I like that your first thought about that Miami Herald story was my first thought as well. Independent media for the win, because you've been doing this 20 years, I've been doing this 18 years. You remember back in the aughts when just explaining to people what a false flag terrorist incident even was mind-blowing for people. They could barely wrap their heads around it. Now it is mainstream news. They just put in the headline because everyone knows what it is and how it operates, and they just casually mention, oh yeah, the Gulf of Tonkin, all of these bread and butter conspiracy realist issues that were, again, heavily neglected and or fought against by people trapped in the Matrix a couple of decades ago is now just common knowledge. So that is to the good. Everything else about this story, of course, is to the bad. And just the latest updates on this, the Trinidad-Tobago-Venezuela fight intensifies with obviously the USS gravely showing up to do joint exercises with Trinidad's Navy, and we have Maduro coming out and withdrawing from an agreement that enables both Trinidad, Tobago, and Venezuela to carry out joint natural gas exploration projects, and they have also barred Prime Minister Kamla Persad-Bissessar of Trinidad and Tobago from entering Venezuela, to which she quipped, why would they think I would want to go to Venezuela? Ha ha ha, all right, okay. So anyway, things are heating up there. If people want to know more about the background of this and the intense psychological operation InfoWar that is being waged right now to prep people for the coming Venezuela war, I might humbly suggest they check out my episode 484 on the Nobel War Prize Strikes Again, where I talk about Maria Corina Machado and why she was selected as the Nobel warmonger, I mean Peace Prize recipient for 2025 and what that portends. And just to follow up on the Israel story, yes, after a heavy airstrike that resulted in over 100 Palestinians dying, the majority, of course, women and children. Now, don't worry, guys. Israel now says, yeah, ceasefire back on. Okay, we've done our strikes. Now we can go back to ceasefire. So anyway, that's how it rolls in the new world order.
You keep using that phrase. I don't think you understand what it means. But really, we have to take our victories when we get them. False flags and military war games used as a cover to conduit said false flag attacks. Now, again, like you're saying, becoming nearly regular knowledge in headlines from newspapers. Again, I would argue Miami Herald, more alternative media than maybe mainstream at this point, as a lot of newspapers these last couple of decades have decided whether they want to, you know, speak truth to power or be water carriers for it. Plus, of course, the name game. Our buddy Lauren Coleman would call it the Twilight language of having President Kamla, which is awfully close to the president we nearly had here in the States, James. That is how we get going here on New World Next Week, episode 608. Our second story, again, realizing Cokes and Pepsis both, when one is out of favor, the smarter among them go, huh, maybe I should adjust my propaganda. They're not having a come to God moment. They're just going, oh, my marketing was maybe a fail. I should probably work on that these next 4 years. You see people like Gavin Newsom or Bill Maher at least kind of opening up and addressing things about why we failed. So maybe that's what Dr. Billy's up to. Billionaire Bill Gates calls for climate strategy pivot ahead of COP30. This from Reuters. Billionaire investor and philanthropist Bill Gates called on world leaders to adapt to extreme weather and focus on improving health outcomes rather than temperature reduction targets ahead of the COP30 climate talks in Brazil. They are coming up in November 10th through the 21st in the port city of Belém in Brazil's lower Amazon region. Countries are due to present updated national climate commitments and assess programs on renewable energy targets agreed at previous summits. The world has spent the last decade working towards the goals of the Paris Agreement, aiming to limit global warming to well below 2 degrees Celsius above the pre-industrial average by mid-century, something that remains well off track. So even Reuters admits they're not even close to doing this thing that they're now changing their tactics on. While climate change was serious, James, again, that's a pretty enormous sentence for them to admit in print. While climate change was serious, it was not civilization ending, Gates posted on his personal blog. He wrote that rather than focus on temperature as the best measure of progress, climate resilience would be better built by strengthening health and prosperity. I think I agree with Dr. Gates. Oh, no. He called for a shift in focus towards improving human welfare, particularly in vulnerable regions, through investments in energy access, healthcare, and agricultural resilience. Ah, he lost me. These areas, he argued, offered more equitable benefits than temperature goals and should be central to climate strategies discussed at COP30. Gates, who has invested billions to accelerate clean technology innovation through his climate-focused venture network, Breakthrough Energy, also challenged policymakers and donors to scrutinize whether climate aid was being spent effectively. He urged them to use data to maximize impact and called on investors to back companies developing high-impact clean technologies so they could more quickly lower costs. Bill Gates walks it back. Disaster isn't imminent. What's up with that? Reports. And Bill Gates says climate change will not lead to humanity's demise. James, is this maybe why Greta left the climate LARP and has been on the new I Suddenly Love Palestine scene?
Well, surely there are new grifts to be had out there, and climate is obviously in the descendant, and there are specific reasons for that. Yes, so for anyone who is confused, yes, some of the things that Billy Gates is saying here, well, you know, I guess I kind of agree with some of those things, but why? What is this about? Obviously, for people in my audience who know about who is Bill Gates, they will know that this is obviously some sort of PR trick of one sort or another. If you don't know about that yet, please go to corbettreport.com/Gates and actually watch the documentary. Purchase a DVD copy from the New World Next Week store. You will find out more than you have ever known about Bill Gates and his real agenda. So what is the real agenda here? I think that there are a couple of things going on, one of which is that as Microsoft and all their big tech buddies start going, uh-oh, we don't have enough energy for this AI data behemoth monstrosity that we're creating. Let's start getting coal, gas, whatever, building nuke plants. Let's reopen Three Mile Island just for Microsoft, etc. I think the climate, oh my God, let's keep everyone in their energy hovels, is not going to work so well for those big tech overlords anymore. So that's one reason that he's behind this. Another is that this is part of the big One Health idea. They're trying to go away from it's all about temperature or whatever, or even extreme weather, because again, still, it's not enough to scare the population. What we've got to do is start tying it all into the holistic, you know, the cow's health is the same as the human health, is the same as the bird's health, is the same as the plant's health. And we have to start thinking of everything all together. And that's another way, of course, of monopolizing the world's resources in the name of saving us from this big scourge. So I think there are a couple of things going on here. But at any rate, I will take the sort of headlines for the win. Sure, why not? Yes, no, the climate doomsday is being called off. And he's getting kickback from the usual quarters, Michael Mann and others going, oh, Bill Gates has totally taken the wrong turn here and blah, blah, blah. But it's interesting timing again that this is coming right before COP30, the conference of the parties that's going to be held in Brazil there in just next month. So we'll see. We'll see if this is a shift in the overall climate framing strategy, etc. But yeah, I would at the very least like to see environmentalism return to actually caring about the environment and real pollution and things that are actually going on, rather than hyperventilating about CO2 and temperatures.
Astute New World Next Weekers will recall just last week we covered how Bill Gates, Beyond Meat, is failing and how their stock has tanked. And James, it had a, I hate the saying, dead cat bounce. It did go back up to $5, but I think last time I checked a few days ago, it was like $2 or $3 at most. Formerly famous meat alternative. So that's 2 weeks in a row of giant eugenics fails. And mostly because when people finally are presented with the honest advertising of it, they're like, I think I don't want that product. And to think about, again, as was noted by noted former leftists like Jella Biafra, your kids will meditate in school, that there is something about this church and state coming together. And it won't be those evil Republican Christians. It'll be a lot more happy. You know what I mean. Let's go to our third and final story on this episode. As states sue over Trump administration suspending food benefits during shutdown, there has been a government shutdown here in the states going on essentially now into its third week, and Cokes and Pepsis each blame each other for putting party and politics ahead of their people, yada, yada. A coalition of Democratic-led states sued the Trump administration, seeking to avert what would be an historic lapse in food aid for millions of Americans that is set to begin this Saturday, November 1st, amid an ongoing government shutdown. The lawsuits represent a critical challenge to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, who I always like to remind people that President Obama brought in a former Monsanto employee to run the USDA. Challenge to the USDA's decision not to use $6 billion in contingency funds to pay for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, also known as food stamps, which costs about $8 billion monthly. At stake is whether more than 41 million low-income Americans will receive their November benefits, which would mark the first time payments have lapsed due to a government shutdown in the program's 60-year history. The federal government has the money to continue funding SNAP benefits. They're choosing to harm millions of families across the country already struggling to make ends meet, Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Joy Campbell said in a social media post about the lawsuit filed in Boston federal court by attorneys general and governors from 25 states and the weird super state of the District of Columbia. Case assigned to U.S. District Judge Indira Tawana, who was appointed by the aforementioned Barack Obama. She set a hearing for tomorrow, as I speak to you, pretty much as you will be watching this, on whether to issue a temporary restraining order forcing the USDA to use available contingency funds for November SNAP benefits. The USDA shutdown plan had included the potential use of contingency funds for SNAP, but last Saturday, the department updated the website to say nothing's coming November 1st, stating, quote, the well has run dry. The lawsuit argues the suspension of benefits is arbitrary and being carried out in violation of the law and regulations governing the program, which requires that assistance under this program shall be furnished to all eligible households. The lawsuit, led by attorney generals from the usual suspects, Massachusetts, California, Tampon Tim's, Minnesota, says the Food and Nutrition Act of 2008 makes clear that the contingency fund should be used when necessary to carry out program operations. Millions of Americans are about to go hungry because the federal government has chosen to withhold food assistance it is legally obligated to provide, New York Attorney General Letitia James said in a statement. Spokesperson for the Department of Ag said in a statement, Senate Democrats are approaching an inflection point where either they hold out for the far left party of the wing or reopen the government so mothers, babies, and the most vulnerable among us can receive timely WIC and SNAP allotments. WIC stands for Women, Infant, and Children. And James, I at least know firsthand from working at the grocery store for many years in Portland that those WIC foods are always the lowest quality GMO bleached white crap down on the bottom shelves. Next time you're out in the grocery store, and if you are blessed enough that you don't have to use these, keep an eye out for it. Look on the shelves. And if you start to notice the little WIC tags or flags, they'll usually be placed right around there on the shelves. And if you're a New World Next Week fan, I feel you might have some ideas about good food. So I just, again, look at what is offered for the poorest among us to, I would argue, maybe stay at that subsistence level. James, this is a giant story. We nearly got into arguments about it in the Morning Monarchy chat this morning.
Wow. Yeah. Well, what is the old saying? Any society is three meals away from a revolution. So I guess we might be testing that in the near future. I don't know. Obviously, you know better on the ground what's happening there in the States and people's reaction to this. But I was just noting in an article I was reading about this, percent of population receiving SNAP benefits 2024. Number one state? Any guesses?
California.
New Mexico.
Oh!
New Mexico, number one. West Virginia's up there as well, like number five. So there you go. Anyway, so what's your feeling on what people are thinking about this? What's going to happen?
Well, I mean, it's I think if you would have looked at this 10 years ago or maybe 20 years ago, West Virginia probably would have been at the top of the list. I like to think West Virginia has made some pretty good moves these last several years to hopefully not be at the top of the worst lists. And I'd found myself wondering years back, I forget, looking at statistics, looking at the 2008 Great Recession and looking at the percentages of states of what they lost. It's like, wow, West Virginia didn't really lose that much. Oh, because we didn't have that much to lose. We were already at a lower level, so it didn't actually hurt that much in 2008. It is an interesting thing when you think of, I feel like New Mexico, again, to fall into Coke and Pepsi politics, it feels like New Mexico should be rich and Republican, but it is dirt poor and Democrat. And unfortunately, that feels kind of like a thing. So again, we were just all the different feelings and arguments. And again, I haven't been in the situations other people have been in, let alone in my chat and the rest of the world. But the idea that someone getting welfare is taking away from something you were going to get here in America is pretty patently false. I think it's a pretty far cry from we gave a bunch of people cards and hotels that we bust in and didn't tell. Kind of a different operation. But what is it all? It's all about divide and conquer. It's all pretty much about race war, class war. And if, again, they can keep us all fighting against each other, they never really have to worry about what any of the answers might be. James, that is New World Next Week, episode 608. If folks would love to head to newworldnextweek.com, they could purchase a physical copy of Who is Bill Gates on DVD. Buy extra copies and give it to your library. You know, we often joke sometimes, do people even have disk drives? We'll wonder if people will even have USB ports before long. You don't have headphone jacks on your smartphones anymore. But maybe for Halloween, you know, you could have bought a bundle of USBs and doled those out to kids and put those as little truth bombs in their trick-or-treaters. If anybody is even doing that anymore, that feels like another thing that has changed. It would feel silly to say, these kids, they don't know what it's like. They don't trick or treat. But things change as time goes by. Yeah, James, we were buying Alex Jones DVDs and sending those to libraries 20 years ago, so you never know. NewWorldNextWeek.com, of course, though, is the way to support Media Monarchy and Corbett Report, because that keeps us not running ads, and that keeps us not selling male vitality pills. We just sell the work that we make, and hopefully some well-made, organic, made-in-America merch that you can show it off. James, I don't know if you heard me tell the story on my show. They had the No Kings protests here in the States recently, again, on a recent weekend. And a Media Monarchy member told the story Monday morning that they were out with their Media Monarchy shirt. And like a cabbie was, you know, giving them the thumbs up. And it's like, yeah, man, they must be Media Monarchy fans. Oh, crap. The No Kings logo looks like the Media Monarchy logo. So people are out there getting false thumbs up for wearing Media Monarchy gear. But what are you going to do? I get the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes before they are published anywhere. And James, I did the math. Only 5 more episodes until New World next year, 2026. Have you thought about your stories?
Not even close. No. We'll deal with that when the time comes.
So I might have the jump on you. I made a text file months ago, and I think I've got my story of 2025.
Awesome. James, we're going to have to leave it here. Talk to you next week.
Cheers, buddy. Thanks.